So I've got a question for you all. And that question is, have you ever been in the middle of doing something important that you need to get done, and then just the power cuts out? Ever been there? You know how frustrating that is? It's very frustrating. If you've never been there, just wait. I'm sure you'll experience it at some point. But so when I was in college, I worked at Aldi, which if you don't know what Aldi is, it's the greatest grocery store in the history of the planet for a college kid because everything's really cheap. And anyways, I loved working there. But one day, I went in at 5 a.m., as I normally did, worked till 9 till we opened, and then still had a few hours left on my shift. And at about 9:30, I was walking down one of the aisles, and power went out. And everybody kind of stood still, like as if we stand still long enough, the power's just going to come back on, because I feel like we always do that when the power goes out, and I don't really know why, but we do. So that's what happened, and it did not come back on. And so I was like, okay, what is my training here on this? What am I supposed to be doing? I think I slept through those videos I was watching, so I better know what I'm doing. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're supposed to take everybody to the front, get them all checked out before the battery dies on the registers. So we did that, got everybody out the door, and then I was like, okay, so we don't have any customers, and that means we're not going to have any spills, and nobody's going to be taking any product off the shelves. So I don't think there's any work for Nathan to do. So I was super excited, like this is going to be the greatest day ever. I kind of like excitement at work. I don't like just doing the same thing over and over. It gets kind of boring. So when something crazy like this happens, I'm like, sweet. I was wrong. There was a lot of work I had to do. In fact, more than I anticipated. So when the power goes out, the coolers stop working, obviously. And so if you've been to Aldi, the whole back wall is a giant cooler that doesn't have doors. It's just open. So we had to take all of the product off those shelves, put it in carts or whatever we could, and put it all in the big cooler that did seal. It took about an hour and a half to get all that done. And the power was still out. And we were calling, and they were like, yeah, we don't have an estimate on when it's going to be back on. So we were like, cool. And so we got done, and I was like, okay, now I don't have any work to do, right? And my boss is like, yeah, you're right. So you can go home, and we'll call you if the power comes back on during your shift. I was like, okay. So I grab my stuff, walk towards the door, and right as I get to the door, whoop, power back on. I was upset. And I walked outside and told all my coworkers who were just walking out, hey, guys, the power's back on. They're like, you're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I'm serious. So in we went with our heads down to undo all of the work we had just spent the last 2 hours doing. It's a very sad moment. It felt like somebody just like flipped the switch off, waited for us to get done with what we were doing, and then saw we were done and said, all right, back to work, and flipped it right back on. But do you ever feel that way in your life? Do you ever feel like somebody's flipping the switch off and just ruining all the best moments, making everything more difficult? Or maybe you feel like you've blown a fuse. Maybe you feel like you've gone a little bit too quick. You were really passionate and excited about things, and then now the power's out, and you don't know how to get the lights back on, and you're just stuck in the dark. You ever feel like that spiritually? Like, man, I was so excited. I was on fire for Jesus. Nothing was going to stop me. I was about to convert people to Jesus or run them over in the process. I was so excited. And then that burns out, and then you're left feeling like, hey, man, I need to rekindle this fire or figure out how to get God's power back in my life, turn the power back on. Or maybe you'd say, I don't know what happened, but I feel like I'm really far from God and his power. I feel like his power is so very far from me and I know I'm supposed to be serving God, and I know that somewhere up there he's got a lot of power up there, but that power never seems to make its way all the way down to where I am, so low. Thankfully, Paul talks about this in Ephesians 3. And in Ephesians 3, in verse 14, he starts out by saying this. He says, when I think of all this, and then continues on, but the point we're gonna focus on is where he says, when I think of all this. Because when he says that, he's referencing back to the verses before. Right? He says, when I think of all this, okay, what are you thinking of? So we're going to go back to verse 12. And we're going to look at verse 12. And in verse 12, we see that Paul says that we are able to come boldly and confidently into God's presence. God wants to talk to us. God wants to give us access to to him and his power on our lives. Think about that. The all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God of the universe who created literally everything wants to talk to you and have a relationship with you and empower you. I don't know about you, but I really want access to that power. But what power are we talking about? So I just went and saw Star Wars on Friday because I'm really into Star Wars. Thank you. I kind of wish this power was a Jedi mind trick, right? Where, like, when I sit at home on a Sunday afternoon watching the Colts play, because I'm from Indiana and so I watch the Colts, you can substitute Vikings there if you think that's blasphemy or anything. But and my wife comes in and says, hey, can you take the trash out? I'd love to say, you will not make me take the trash out, right? But my wife would love to say, you will take the trash out, or you will sleep on the couch. That's not the power that exactly we're talking about here. In fact, if we continue on in this chapter in Ephesians 3, we'll see what he's talking about. He says in verse 16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Aha, inner strength. That's the power we're talking about. God wants to grant us inner strength through his spirit. He wants us to be emotionally and mentally strong, and he wants to help us get there. And then he continues on in this passage and says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. This verse is incredibly intriguing and interesting to me because we've been studying through Ephesians in our series Amazing Grace. And in chapter 1, Paul calls the people in Ephesus at this church saints. They're already Christians. So this says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. I thought Jesus already lived in me when I was a Christian. Wait, does that mean this is a contradictory statement to what Paul already said? Does this mean my whole faith is a sham? No, it doesn't. In fact, this statement isn't contradictory, and it actually teaches us something about our relationship with God and how that works. So if you're already a Christian, you might be thinking, so if Christ already lives inside me, if he already dwells inside me, then what am I supposed to learn from this verse? What does this mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about it. Paul is saying that we are able to flip the switch. We're able to flip the switch. When you walk into your house at night after you left and you didn't leave any lights on, what's the first thing you do? You flip the switch on, right? So that you don't trip over the dog that's coming to greet you, correct? If you have a dog, you know what that's like. You flip that switch and then it illuminates your room, right? But you ever thought about what happens when you flip a light switch? Like the process behind it? If you're an electrician, maybe you think about that every day. But when you flip the switch, you know, it connects the circuit and completes it so that electricity can get to the light bulbs and illuminate your room. It's important, right? When we flip the switch, we turn the lights on. Paul's telling us here that we need to flip the switch. Not that just that we're able to flip it, but that we need to flip it. He's praying that these believers would realize how deep their relationship with Christ can actually go if they would trust him more. The more they trust him, the deeper the relationship becomes, the more and more that they experience him living inside of them. Yes, Christ does dwell in all believers. That is 100% true. But does every believer experience the fullness of God's power in their lives? No. And that's what Paul's encouraging the church of Ephesus and us to do. To live in that fullness. Just like in your house, you can live with the lights off. You can live with the lights off. You don't have to turn them on. And in fact, during the day, it's really not that hard to live with the lights off, right? I mean, I can see pretty well as long as the blinds are open. It's not that bad. But when it gets dark, then it gets harder. Then you start bumping into things. Things start going wrong. You trip and fall. But all you had to do was flip the switch when the light was still on. Outside. It's the same in our walk with Christ. When it's light outside, when everything's going right, when we don't notice really anything going wrong in our lives, we sometimes don't think we need to turn the switch on. We don't need it. But then when it gets dark out, when things start going wrong like they did in that Christmas chaos video, right? Everything was going wrong and horribly wrong. Then we realize, maybe I didn't have that switch flipped in the first place. Maybe I didn't have the lights on because now it's dark. Now things are going wrong. Now I've lost my job. Now I just got a diagnosis I did not want to get. Now divorce is breaking my family apart. Now I lost a loved one. When all these things are happening, then it's like, oh man, it's dark. I don't like this. And now I feel like I don't have any power to move on, right? I can't keep going because I can't see where I'm going. Paul's inviting us to flip the switch, to keep the light on. Yeah, you could live with the lights off, right? You'll just bump into a few things, right? It's not that bad. You can live. You'll manage. But why would you? Why wouldn't you flip the switch? Why wouldn't you turn the lights on so you could see? Why wouldn't you use this power that God is giving you access to? Flip the switch. He continues, Paul does, and he says, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. When I think of roots, I think of large trees that grow deep roots into the earth. And what Paul is alluding to here is that if we have these roots that are down in God's love, they will continue to grow deeper and deeper into his love until we come to all new knowledge of what his love really is and how deep and how far it goes. He's setting up the next verse, but also, when we look at these roots that we have and what Paul is talking about, we'll see that when we go through the dark times in our lives, when those horrible things happen, when everything is chaos and going wrong, that it doesn't affect us quite the same way. It doesn't affect us the same way. Because now our roots are firmly planted in God's love, and we realize he's not doing anything. He's not out to get me. He's not trying to trip me up. He's not flipping my switch off and waiting. But we'll realize that he is growing us, and he loves us immensely. And because of that love, we aren't shaken by the hurdles and obstacles, right? The things when in our house when the lights are off that we're tripping on, we're not as shaken by them when the lights are on. You don't trip over as many. And God's love illuminates the house to help us see the obstacles. However, if you're like me, you still trip and fall when the lights are on because I am very clumsy and I don't fit the body that God gave me. And I just trip all over everything, right? But I want to propose to you that it is much less scary to fall when the lights are on. Because if you fall when the lights are on, I can see exactly where my face is about to plant into this ground, right? And then once I'm on the ground, I can see what I got to do to get up, what I have to grab onto to help myself up. Falling in the dark is a lot more scary. I can't see where I'm falling. I don't know what's about to happen. And then once I get down there, I don't know how to get out. I don't have any way to get out of this. Flipping the switch will help us navigate those troubles. It gives us that light to see that there's a greater purpose in everything we go through. And Paul continues on in verse 18 and says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Oh, wait, hold on. We're not going that far yet. It's okay. So Paul's prayer that he's talking about here kind of switches a little bit, but not too much. He's still talking about power. But then he continues on his thought about roots from the last verse. The last verse he's talking about roots. If we grow them, then we more understand God's love. And then here he talks about how immense that love of God is. Well, basically he's saying our roots can grow forever, and we still are going to have a hard time understanding all of God's love because it's incredible, because it's complete and full. That covers literally all of the human experience, right? It's wide. It covers our own experience and everybody's experience. It's long. It lasts for our entire lives. And even more than that, it lasts for all eternity. There's never a time anywhere at any time that isn't covered by God's love. It's high, right? It's with us at the mountaintops, at the peaks of our lives and the best points. But it's also deep. It's with us at the valleys. It's with us when we've fallen down. It's all covering. And then in verse 19, he lets us know that we're incapable of fully understanding this love that God gave to us. He says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. If I stop and think about this, which I've done a lot this week, it starts to hurt my brain. How in the world is there a love that's so great that I can't fully understand it? Because I want to understand things. I want to grasp them and know what they're all about. I want to know everything about them. But this is saying you're just not. It's not going to happen. But I think it's so important to realize that God is so great and his love for us is so great that we may not understand how great that love is because we don't have an example to go up against, especially the love of Christ. Okay, we've got Jesus, perfect human. Nobody else comes close. And nobody else's love is anywhere near. Okay, brain hurt. Moving on. Then, he says, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Do you ever feel incomplete? You ever feel like, man, something's missing. I just can't quite put my finger on what it is. Like, I go to church, like I pray before every meal, like I read my Bible occasionally, right? Why am I still feeling empty? It doesn't feel right. Why is there an emptiness? I want to propose to you that you're not alone, and that if you are experiencing feelings of emptiness or incompleteness as a Christian, that that's okay and normal, and you're not unsaved. You don't need to pray again to accept Christ. There's plenty of people who have accepted Christ and still feel incomplete. And I know it feels wrong. You feel like, I should feel complete, right? I have Jesus. That should be everything I need. I should feel like my life is together and I should be complete, right? And it's true that Christ does complete us, but it's not always immediate. It's not always right away. It's a journey. And you have to flip the switch to start that journey toward being complete in Christ. Starting a relationship with Jesus is incredible. It'll change your life. It changed mine. But it's not a coupon to fix all your problems. It's not going to make everything perfect. It's the start of a lifelong journey towards becoming new. But it's a journey that's so worth it because it's a journey that leads to the completeness and fullness of life and even access to God's power. The only real completion and fullness of life is a life with God. Anything else from Him is incomplete. But to progress on this journey of fullness that we're looking for here, we have to keep growing. We have to grow. And if we don't grow, we'll stagnate. And stagnation leads you right back to that feeling of incompleteness over and over and over again. Because you feel like you're not making any progress. You're not going anywhere. So strive to keep growing and learning and loving Jesus. And then to wrap up this whole chapter, Paul starts in verse 20, a doxology. Which, if you're like me, a few years ago, I thought doxology was just the name of a song that we all sang. Turns out doxology actually means prayer of praise to God. And so Paul finishes this chapter of Ephesians 3, but also the entirety of the amazing grace concept in the first half of Ephesians with praise to God. He starts it by saying, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." It's incredible. If we just flip the switch, God's going to use us to accomplish more, infinitely more, than we could even imagine or ask or think. It's incredible. And it's there for us if we flip the switch. He then continues on in verse 21 by saying, "Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." But I want you to hear this. God is not saying here that we are able to do whatever we want. And he's not saying that we are able to do anything. He's saying that God is going to give us the power to do his purposes and to fulfill his will for our lives. He's not saying that he's going to make us infinitely powerful or give us superpowers or Jedi mind tricks, you know. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that he can accomplish something incredible. He can do it. If we flip the switch, he will do a great work through his mighty power. It's not us. So the main idea here is flipping the switch, right? But you might be asking yourself, how? How do I flip the switch? You've talked a lot about that. I need to. Now I know I need to. What do I do? Well, I'm glad you ask again. Let's look at what Paul's doing throughout this whole passage. He's praying. That's his main thing that's happening in this passage. He's praying and talking to God on behalf of the Ephesians. So maybe we should mimic that. I think how we flip the switch is to pray. It's to pray. Prayer is how we talk to God. It's how we access his power. And it's how we flip the switch. So you might be thinking, okay, what do I do about that? Like, I come to church and I know all the time. I know I have to pray more. I literally think about it all the time. But I'm not doing it. I'm not praying anymore. How do I actually do it? Once again, really glad you asked. I've got a few suggestions. I recently downloaded an app a few weeks ago. It's called Echo Prayer. And there it is. That's what it looks like. And for the first time in your life, you're going to have a pastor tell you to take out your phone and download it right now if you'd like to, right? It's really useful. You can track prayer requests. You can track when you've prayed for them. You can track You can set reminders to pray for specific things at specific times. It's got a bunch of different tools, and it's super useful. It's been really helpful in my life. And it will come up as a notification on your phone every day. Have you prayed today? And you're like, oh, that is convicting. Thank you. And that's great. That's a great thing. But if you aren't into technology, then that's fine. Just go to the store and buy a journal when we get done. And in that journal, do the same things. Keep track of prayer requests. And actually, a great thing you can do is make a list of things that you're grateful for. And then read that every morning to remind yourself how grateful you are. That will change your life. But I also have another suggestion. I want to suggest that there are ways to pray that aren't so formal, that don't require an app or a journal or anything. When Paul says in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, he doesn't mean 24/7 down on your knees or on your face before God. In fact, he means instead to carry on an ongoing conversation with God. To carry on an ongoing conversation with God. You might have heard that before, but I'm going to spin it just a little bit and make it a little bit easier to understand. So think about your best friend. Think about when you guys get together, how does that go? Do you pick up right where you left off last time? This is with my best friend, we do. Or think about when you text your best friend. For me, you know, I'm young, so I text my best friend, and he lives 9 hours away. When I text my best friend, I don't start with, like I do with other people, hello, insert name here, here's why I'm texting you, let me know what you think, right? That's what I do when it's not my best friend, but with my best friend, just keep going with our conversation we've been carrying on for a long time. I think our prayer life can be the exact same way. We carry on that conversation forever. But sometimes there may be silence, and that's okay. But even if it's just a little sentence here and there throughout our day, acknowledging God's a part of our day is a big, big step towards flipping the switch. We have the power of God at our fingertips, so let's let God show that power through us more. And if we all used it more, imagine what our world would look like. If we accessed that power more often, if we flipped the switch, what would our world look like? I think it would look a lot different than it does now. I think our church would look a lot different than it does now. We'd look a lot like the church in Acts 2, where the Bible says that more were added to their number every day. They couldn't hold back how much was happening at their church, more people being added, people growing in Christ, knowing him more. They started a worldwide revolution that changed the course of history forever and is the reason we're all sitting in these seats on a Sunday morning, because they were faithful to what God had them do. They got it, right? Nothing else mattered but Jesus, nothing, not even their possessions. They sold things in order to pay for the needs of others in their congregation. That is flipping the switch. If we understood that and we lived in God's power, then I am 100% convinced that Northwood Church could start a revolution that could change the entire course of human history. I know it because I've seen it in Acts 2. The exact same thing could happen today. However, it's been said that if the Holy Spirit was taken away from the church, if God decided to take it away, that most of what we did wouldn't be affected. That is a sad statement. Let's access the power of the Spirit more often. Let's all work to flip the switch in our own lives. Pray with me. God, we are so thankful that you are all powerful. You have power to do anything, that you conquered death. We're so thankful for that. We pray that you would give us access to that power. We pray that we would have a desire for it. That you would reignite the fire in those that are feeling like they're burnt out, or those who have never experienced it before. Show them your power, God. Show us all your power. I pray that we would do this all to glorify you and not for ourselves or any vain reasons, but that it would all be to show your glory to those around us. I pray that you would start that revolution here at Northwood Church, that we would change the course of human history for you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.